This is episode 68 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gilner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I've been deep into content creation for my fourth annual Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference, which will be held on November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Golden, Colorado. Ignite is for the change makers of the world who want to raise up their voice, their visibility, and their business in 2019. I host this event each year in November so that the women attending step into their new year with intention and fire in their belly for all that's possible in their business and a plan to make it happen. It's about vision, it's about voice, and it's about wild success. And I have got an amazing panel of guest speakers lined up with three powerful keynotes for each day. On day one, we're going to have Dr. Anita Sanchez, the author of The Four Sacred Gifts, Indigenous Wisdom for Modern Times. Anita has met with Indigenous elders from around the world and will share the lessons she has learned from these elders around our interconnectedness to one another, our earth, and the animals that we share this planet with. On day two, Heidi Ganahl, who founded and built a multi-million dollar franchise business, Camp Bow Wow, will share her personal story of resiliency. And on day three, Mia Voss is the ultimate traveler and a global brand ambassador working on brands such as Lexus, Toyota, Mitsubishi, Mazda, and many more. We're going to learn so much from these three women. And for a full list of our speakers, I invite you to visit my website, camigelner.com, under the happening section, and you'll see all the wonderful guest speakers who will be joining us. I am so thrilled. Ignite brings heartfelt connections to mindful strategies in your business and your life and the voice of who you are and how you want to make a difference. It's a soulful approach to business planning so that you are in the flow and not in the hustle in 2019. It's about listening first to your inner guidance system and the wisdom that's there for you just to tap into if you only listen, if you only listen and hear to find that clarity you want for your new year. You'll walk into 2019 with a plan and a mission and a way to make it happen. Now is the time, my extraordinary women friends, we are being called. It's a sisterhood of impact, and the world needs you. The world needs me. The world needs each one of us right now to step up into how we're meant to be making a difference in the world. So join us. It's on November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and all of the details are out on my website. And speaking of sisterhood of impact, I'm so excited to share today's Extraordinary Women Radio with you, with my good friend, Megan Conter. Megan and I are collaboration partners. We do strategic thinking together. We make referrals to one another. We cheer each other on, and we lean into each other when things aren't working the way we'd like them to. And Megan, I'm thrilled to tell you, is on fire right now in her business and her life. She's in the flow. She's made some pretty big shifts in her life in the past year, and she had to let go of some things that weren't serving her. The things, as she says, had to be left behind in order for her to get to her BHAG, her big, hairy, audacious goal. Megan is vulnerable in sharing her story today. 9 months ago, she felt called to leave alcohol behind for her life, for her relationships, and for where she wanted to take her business. And when she made that decision, life shifted, her business shifted, and she shifted. Her raw story of struggle opened the door to huge transformative expansion. I love sharing her story with you. And what I particularly love about Megan's story is how she totally trusted her inner guidance, the universal clues that were guiding her. It was in this trust that the flow came for Megan. Megan is a marketing and branding expert who specializes in helping companies led by female industry leaders make their services indispensable in the eyes of their ideal clients. Megan also helps women-led organizations leap over revenue targets as the founder of the DAMES, a national community that celebrates high-level leaders in nonprofits and corporations. Megan is a champion of connection and believes that anything can be accomplished through fearless collaboration and laughter. Let's meet Megan Conter. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Megan. Thank you so much for having me, Cami. I am super excited to be here.
Oh, it's so much fun to bring on my good friends and collaboration partners like you. I love to bring your stories and what you're working on right now and share that. You know, you and I have been collaboration partners for, I was trying to remember, I think it's been
2 years, I think.
That's what I was thinking. I was guessing it was close to 2 years if it wasn't 2 years already. But
yes.
Yeah. And it's, and I love collaboration, right? I mean, being able to collaborate with women is such a powerful thing that we can do.
Absolutely. I just got an email yesterday from a young lady who had been in a session that I led at the Women's Entrepreneurship Day conference last year. And she,
yes.
I spoke on collaboration and she called it the, you know, abundance versus scarcity talk. And I really thought that was so cool. She said, you know, I used to look at all of my the people in my industry as competitors, and now I look at them as collaborators, and it's totally changed my business and catapulted my business. And I thought, it is so true, because that's exactly how you and I approach it. Some people are like, oh, well, you do the same thing as Cami. No, we don't. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we collaborate and we bring people to each other that are a good fit for who we serve. And, you know, we round each other out.
Absolutely. And I just think about the energy that, that we show up in when we're in collaboration versus that scarcity side of things. It's, you know, the collaboration is so expansive.
Yes.
And the, you know, the competitive scarcity piece of it is like, it's like the energy just shrinks up around you, right?
And you can still feel that energy at times, right?
Oh,
I mean,
right.
It's funny. I catch myself sometimes entering into that and it's like, nope, that's society stuff that I don't buy into.
Right.
Get back to where you are all the time, you know, where you want to be. So,
and I'm glad you said that too, because,
yeah.
It is a practice. You have to make a practice of doing it. It's not, and be cognizant and be aware of where you're at any given moment, because, you know, it's really easy to fall back into old ways.
Anytime you have a big transformation like that, you know, I think it takes practice and it takes refinement. It's not like you just wake up one morning and, oh, it's all different.
Right. Exactly. So let's talk about transformation. I know you have recently gone through some really big transformation in your life. Can you tell us about that and what was going on that brought this transformation to the table for you?
Yes. So I have been an entrepreneur like you since about the end of 2008 is when I was at
my
last.
We all came.
Yeah.
It's so funny in these interviews. I have interviewed so many people on Extraordinary Women Radio that made huge shifts in that year.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a really interesting thing. And I think so many of us were brought into this space to do what we're doing in that year for whatever reason. And I think there's some divine things happening.
Definitely. And I, you know, mine was kind of like the universe really, you know, I could say it one way or the other. I could say pushing me into entrepreneurialism or opening a giant door that was like, you know, this isn't just a sliver of an opening of a door. This is a giant, like 3-car garage door opening up, like, go this way. Oh, okay.
It's like it hits you in the middle of your forehead, like,
yes.
Hello.
No mistaking here.
Right.
So, you know, when I started my business in 08, and through the years of entrepreneurialism, of course, there were the typical struggles of being an entrepreneur and really reconditioning myself to go from this mentality of what I learned in college, which is, you know, corporate marketing, climbing the corporate ladder, what we had learned growing up, to I'm an entrepreneur now. I create my own reality, which has its challenges. But then also on top of that, I was a, you know, late 20-year-old, still, you know, of the mentality of partying quite a bit and celebrating and having friends who are of the same age. And, you know, I can just remember looking at my older friends when I would say, my birthday party starts at 9:30. And they're like, what? I'll be asleep by then. And I'm like, come on, you know, and now I'm that lady that's like, yeah, I'll be asleep by then. So no, I'm
yes.
not coming to your 9 p.m. birthday party. But anyways, I, you know, I thought I was just living this life of what my peers lived and what, you know, it's normal to go out and party. It's normal to, you know, drink wine every day of the week. And then on the weekends, have a bit more. That's just normal. And it started really wearing on me. You know, I know that it's part of it is that I'm getting older. And so it's physically wearing on me, but it really started wearing on me. And it,
showing up behaviorally and starting to affect my work life and, you know, my mental clarity and my physical health. And really, I was struggling with, you know, being part of society, feeling like I was just doing what the norm was, but at the same time, like, I don't quite understand why this is so hard, why Monday mornings are just terrible for me, and why I'm going through these crazy mood swing, depressive states. So that's how I was feeling, you know, prior to this big transformation. And just throughout a course of events of, I was doing another interview the other day and had this awareness around the fact that I had been for a couple of years waiting for someone to show up in my life, someone of authority to show up and tell me that I needed to slow down on drinking or quit drinking. And, you know, I'd go to the next acupuncturist. I'd be like, maybe this person's going to tell me, or I'd go to the, you know, this other holistic health person. Maybe they're going to tell me, and nobody would tell me.
And so you were actually thinking, I hope this expert tells me this.
I think it was more of a subconscious thought, but right. I became aware of the fact that it was my subconscious communicating with me. Like, you know, that's, mm-hmm. that was the excuse that I was looking for. If somebody else tells me to do it, then I'll do it.
Okay.
But really what I had to get to was the point where I told myself that it was time to stop.
And how did you do that?
It was through a series of choices. So in 2017, I really slowed down on drinking several times. I went through, you know, 4 or 5 months where I wouldn't drink anything. And then I would have an excuse for why I needed to drink again. Well, I'm going on vacation and I can't go on vacation without, you know, having some drinks. And then next thing I knew, I was back into, you know, the 2 or 3 glasses of wine a day and then 4 or 5 on the weekends and, mm-hmm. you know, back into the throes of it. Mm-hmm. So it was just, and then I would go through periods where it's like, okay, I'm not going to drink on the weekdays. And then I would drink on weekends and I would just feel even worse on Mondays. So I was dancing with it for quite some time. And then it was just an all of a sudden thing where I was out on Halloween night last year, 2017. And I was with my cousin and some friends and I'm, you know, 38 years old at the time, standing on a rooftop bar in my skimpy Halloween outfit and drinking this drink that all of a sudden tasted like dirt. And I think that it was really my body's way of showing me you're done. And it was in that moment where that decisiveness was just there. I didn't have to try. I didn't have to force myself. It was like, you're done.
Okay.
And then there were more series of things that I didn't know if it was a permanent done or if it was a temporary thing, but I went to another event with a group here of people who were former gray area drinkers. So we're the kinds of people who weren't AA needing AA. You know, like I said, I could quit drinking for 4 or 5 months at a time. I wasn't drinking the bottle every single day. It was, we were people who just decided that it didn't need to be part of our lives anymore. Mm-hmm. So we were all together at this event in January of 2018. And
so you found a group that was all about that, you know, that level of drinking and stopping.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. So those of us who are either sober curious or have been sober for a while and, you know, are just living the sober life and really learning how to live that life, because it's a very different life and it's unwinding the societal expectations and relationships and a lot. It's a lot. Everywhere, once you quit drinking, you see it everywhere. You see it in every single advertisement, in everybody's conversations. It's of course hyper, you become hyper aware of it. So it's really helpful to have this group of people who you can be with and not think about it at all, especially in that transition period. Right. So I was sitting there talking with several of them and one of the women asked me, is this a life decision or what is this? And I was like, you know, I don't know. It might just be a temporary thing. It might be a year. I'm not sure. And I heard from my guidance at that time, it was like, this is a permanent decision. Mm-hmm. And it was right then and there that it was like, okay, it's permanent and I move forward.
Right.
So none of these transitions have been, it was a struggle before, don't get me wrong, but none of this transition of the decisiveness and of moving forward has been difficult because I am very close with my guidance and my higher self, and I listen and I tap into that all the time. And when I hear it, I obey because I know it knows the best direction for me.
Right. So what was going on in your business and your relationships prior to hearing all of this? And then what's happened
since?
So yeah. You know, kind of give us the glimpse of before and what's happened, because I know there's been tremendous shift during the same time.
Definitely.
You made this decision.
Definitely. So physically I had, you know, struggled to lose a certain amount of weight. I would always get to a certain point, and no matter how much I worked out, no matter, you know, what I tried, I couldn't get below this certain point. And, you know, I would also fall into the trap a lot of times of just eating stuff that wasn't the best for me while I would be drinking, or even after I would be drinking. I would be craving things that weren't the best for me. Mm-hmm. My marriage, you know, my relationship was definitely suffering a lot because of both my husband and I drinking. We would fight a lot. And, you know, other close personal relationships, it was very similar. Mm-hmm. I would fight with people a lot more. And, you know, business was, I was doing great, and I can't even describe how the mental clarity is so different on this side. Like, I didn't know that I was struggling to get this mental clarity, and I didn't know that I was struggling to work and working so hard to get so far, but not like just feeling that constant working hard feeling. Mm-hmm. But I don't have that anymore. And these bigger things that I was trying to achieve in life just felt very impossible to me back then. And I mean, even several months ago, I was talking with someone. They're like, yeah, I talked to you a year ago and you thought it would be impossible to buy a house. And, you know, we're now buying a house. Right. So on this side of it, I've lost 10 pounds. I found it so easy once I quit drinking to stop eating gluten and dairy, which were causing me digestive issues. Mm-hmm. I am able to work out in ways that I never could before. I'm a pretty regular runner now, which was something I never did before, and I love it. My husband awesome. And I are fighting almost not at all. My nice. Relationships have improved. There are certain relationships, friendships that have kind of gone away because I don't drink anymore. And I count that as a blessing as well, because
mm-hmm. Interesting.
We have
the relationships
support.
Went away.
Oh yeah. You have to have supportive. It's the same thing, right? You are the sum of the five people you hang out with most.
Right.
Well,
right.
if I'm wanting to better myself and continue to grow in life, and surround myself with people who are supportive of my choices, chances are I'm not going to be very resonant with those who insist on every interaction being this hardcore drinking activity.
Right.
I just don't choose those things anymore.
Right. And did your husband quit drinking with you, or
yes.
was, okay. He both,
yes.
Did. Okay.
Yeah. So he quit about 3 weeks before me.
Okay.
So that's definitely a lot easier. I have several friends who are also sober and they're having a hard time because their significant others haven't quit drinking. Mm-hmm. And that brings upon it another layer of challenge when the person who you live with and spend most time with won't quit. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful that I don't have that situation and that my husband is also gluten-free and dairy-free. It just makes everything so much easier. Mm-hmm. So I've also experienced this being my best year in business. And
yeah. So tell us, because it's really been fun watching your business this year. I mean, so give our listeners a view into your business today and how that's transformed.
Yeah. So I mean, with my marketing business, I think it's just yet again, it's that mental clarity. It's that my body feels like a clean vessel and it does 24/7. And I'm not struggling to make Mondays work. I'm not struggling to make any day work. So the fact that I am able to, it's almost like that movie Limitless, where I'm not taking a drug to get more access to my brain, but I feel like I'm getting more access to my brain. I feel like things are easier. I feel like now that I've said no to this thing that I can give you, and I didn't want to talk about it on this podcast because this isn't the place, but I can give you all the reasons why it turned me into a different person. I can give you all the stories why that looks like something that Megan Conter isn't anymore and doesn't want to be. Mm-hmm. I looked at myself, and this is, you know, kind of like that that formula that I've developed. I've looked at myself and I said, if I'm going to have this big, hairy, audacious goal of taking the Dames from this local Denver organization into a nationwide and then international organization, and if I'm going to continue to expand my marketing consulting business, I can't do it with this thing holding me back like a ton of bricks that I'm constantly dragging behind me. And it became very clear that that was the thing that was really holding me back.
So what's the formula that you're talking about here? Share with that. Share that with us.
Yeah. So boiled down, it's about getting very clear on your big, hairy, audacious goals or the things that you really want to accomplish in life and having that as a clear end goal that you're heading toward. Mm-hmm. And then determining what can't go with you, where you're headed. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of times it's things that have been spiritually, intuitively tapping on your shoulder for months or maybe years. And it's behaviors, it's emotions, it's habits, it's things that you've told yourself you need in order to get through the rough times. A lot of times it's things that you've been having an internal conflict about or an internal dialogue about. And, you know, it could be something as simple as you being stuck on comparison and really just constantly comparing yourself to others. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be alcohol for everyone. Mm-hmm. Or it could be overeating. It could be other things.
So it's really getting clear about that big goal.
Yep.
And then it is about, okay, what in getting to that big goal, what do I need to leave behind?
Yep. What can't go with me where I'm headed?
Okay.
So once you've identified that thing that can't go with you, you have to really emotionally and cognitively attach to what would happen in your life, what could happen in your life if you don't let go of it.
Right.
So really get clear internally in your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, your body, your spiritual connection, and externally, your family, your friends, your business, what are the consequences that could happen if you don't let go of this thing?
Right.
And then the next step is look at the list of possibilities of what can happen when you let go of that thing. Mm-hmm. What else would show up, could show up internally or externally? And then once you've kind of started really creating that picture, depending on if you're a visual person or you really should look at it and visualize on it and write down the words of what could really happen. And then get curious and start asking questions about it. Pray on it, meditate on it. What are the steps that you need to take in order to start making your way toward your BHAG? And what are the things you need to do to start removing and undoing those patterns and beliefs and habits? So that, you know, as you start to remove those things, it begins to create space for more forward movement toward your BHAG.
And it's also it's opening up the door to being able to hear and be aware of any universal messages that are coming your way, right? It's the
Absolutely.
Guidance, right? And I think that's so important to be able to tune into that, because if you can't tune into that because you've got all this other noise going on in your space, there you miss all the clues.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that if people haven't already started down that journey of getting very clear, getting that connection between you and your intuition opened up, if you mm-hmm. haven't started that journey, that's the first step before anything else. Mm-hmm. I just so happen to have that already. Because yes, like you said, most of this is not coming from my mind. Most of this is coming from my intuition and my body and my connection to my spirit that's telling me what to do throughout this whole process. And that's when it becomes easy to start removing the things and to get over the times when it's really freaking tough for me to go out with the friends that I used to go out with in the very beginning of this whole process and watch them all drink while I sat there and drank my soda water. Mm-hmm. Now I can do it effortlessly.
Right.
And when it was difficult to, I didn't want to go to networking events because it's like everybody around you asks you nonstop if you want wine and, you know, going to workout classes. And I swear to God, the universe was testing me by putting instructors up there that every single class were mentioning how your reward would be the alcohol that you drink later that day.
Oh gosh.
It's just there was so much that, I just, in keeping my connection open the whole time, it was like, you know, keep going, keep going, keep going. Skirt left, say something, you know? So I would walk up to that instructor at the end of the class when she didn't say something about alcohol and say, thank you so much for not mentioning alcohol once this class. I mean, there's just these things that were unfolding in front of me and making it easier for me every step of the way. And, you know, the last thing I would say just in that formula is to come up with a statement of declaration or a mantra, or make it public, declare publicly what it is that you're doing to, and publicly could mean to your spouse, it could mean to your best friend, it could mean to everybody on Facebook, whatever your, whatever floats your boat, but tell people you trust so that you become accountable to them and that you get the support that you need when you're removing this habit, because it, I don't believe in doing anything alone personally.
Right. And I remember when you were doing this, I mean, you were very public with this, on Facebook and with your tribe of people.
And I still am.
Right. And sharing that story. And you're also very, you know, this is not about, you know, what you should, you know, telling other people what they should do.
Oh.
It's like, your journey is your journey. This is my journey. And this is the choices I've made. And I really have honored that. It's been really powerful watching you and inspiring watching you go through this.
Thank you. It's absolutely not about everybody on the face of the planet needing to quit drinking.
Right.
But I guarantee you that if you really sat down and looked at, you know, why you haven't achieved the things that you want to achieve, or why you don't feel inside the way that you want to feel, it's probably because of some other behavior that you're choosing that's sabotaging what it is that you want to create. And I think that you'll find in any research that you do, when someone really started to achieve their goals, it's because they made some drastic changes in their lives.
Right. Right. Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being so vulnerable and sharing your story. I really appreciate it. And I think your, the formula that you use and that you've developed to share this journey with others, I think is really powerful. I think, you know, this is a good way for our listeners to really think about what do they need to leave behind? What do they want to leave behind in order to get to where they're wanting to go in that big goal?
Absolutely. And I think part of the reason why I have chosen to stay so vulnerable with this story and to be so public with it is because I have helped many people in doing so. Every time I post about it or do an interview or, you know, somehow publicly broadcast it, there's another person who comes out of the woodwork and tells me that they've been struggling and, you know, thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, what do I need to do?
Right.
And I can direct them toward resources because I'm not the professional, that's for sure.
Right.
But the more people that I can help in this, it just shows me that, because I was thinking about it, my 23-year-old French friend said to me the other day that they had been struggling. And I thought to myself, wow, if I had even known someone who admitted that binge drinking when I was in my 20s was way worse. Binge drinking 10, 15 drinks a day was not okay. Mm-hmm. Like if I had had anybody who showed me that, I might have had a whole different existence and I might have been gone farther faster.
Right. Right. And it's part of the journey though. I mean, it's in, yeah. And versus going back and saying, oh, what could have, you know, should have been, it's really about this has been the journey that you went down. And it's like, what you're sharing now with people is inspiring and is uplifting. And you're in a place where you can inspire and uplift so many people, you know, with, and, you know, just to go one step further, you know, tell our audience what the Dames has, you know, what has happened with the Dames this year?
Yes. So in the last year, I launched like I said before, we used to be just an every other month event here in Denver. And last year I launched a nationwide virtual membership platform. So we are, you know, growing, we're nearing 100 members. We have members in five different states, and we want to continue to grow that virtual membership of women who are running 6- and 7-figure businesses and those who are in director, VP, and C-suite positions at large corporations and nonprofits. And we are going to be launching chapters in Northern Colorado and in a few short months here. We've got our host picked out and we're starting to launch there. I've created a full blown back-end system manual and, you know, contracts and all that work on top of my, you know, marketing business, which takes up about 95% of my time. I've built a team of incredible people. I have 5 people that are working for me in the Dames, and it is fulfilling me in so many different ways because I never wanted to be a solopreneur working on my own all the time. Mm-hmm. And I've just seen so many women who are members of this community start collaborating and building connections in other states and beyond, where these connections are starting to open doors for them, and women are helping each other achieve those greater levels of success. The women who are running million-dollar businesses are so happy to be mentors to those of us who are growing to that level, even if $1 million isn't our goal. And it's just, you know, watching how fast this has moved for me in the last year has been such a joy for me. And, you know, that's the part that I'm most proud of. And of course, the victories I've had in my personal life of soon to be signing papers on a house, and, you know, really improving my marriage and my relationship with my stepdaughter because of the fact that I just feel much more like myself now.
Right. Right. Well, it's been a very visible uplift of you in this year, and it's been really fun, you know, seeing that and being a part of that and being in that energy. So congratulations on everything that's happening.
Thank you.
You know, and while you talk a lot about women breaking the million-dollar mark, knowing you, my guess is it's you don't define success by that, right? It's there's something different about success for you. How do you define success?
So I think that success is really a very personal thing, obviously. And for me, I'm an ENFP and I'm an Enneagram 7. So everything is about feeling for me and how I feel internally and how I feel now externally, being my connection to my higher self and my source. So to me, it's about feeling like you're firing on all cylinders. Mm. And I have to be honest, I struggle still with the feeling of I can have it all, and I'm working on it, and it's slowly, what's the word? Melting away the fears of it. And the golden Buddha underneath is really emerging on this topic. And I'm starting to see that I can have it all. So there are things that I obviously still struggle with, but I feel like it's a very personal thing. And I don't like to say that success means that I've got this much money in the bank, or it means that I've got 2.5 cars, and most people would say kids, but you know, or whatever. I don't measure it monetarily, but it's the fact that I feel good a vast majority of the time, and I feel a vast majority of the time. That's the other part of this whole being on the other side of drinking, is that I've also struggled with depression my whole life. And so now the hardest part of this transition has been feeling everything and processing those feelings without the aid of, you know, I like to say without the aid of any wine, any pasta, and any refined sugar. So yes, I've put myself in a really challenging place, but I think that's what I like.
Right.
You know, starting my business in the recession, I think I just like putting myself in challenging situations. But so defining success in about that million-dollar mark, it's simply because I do believe that having those, you know, benchmarks or those milestones is helpful, because there's always more to expand into and there's always more to strive for. But when you look at the statistics and you see how few women owned businesses hit that million-dollar mark.
Mm-hmm. And what is the percentage?
It's, well, depending on the study, it's anywhere between 2 and 4%.
Yeah.
So I would guess it's probably around 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in Colorado, it's 1.8%. So it's a really small percentage. And then if you look at, you know, the percentage of women on boards, and there's only 24 female CEOs, the problem is women have our own set of challenges to overcome. And I believe that the problem that I'm solving with the dames is that if you can be it, you can see it. I'm sorry.
If you can see it, you can be it.
If you can see it, you can be it. And so for us to be able to see the women who get up in front of the room at the events or who lead the trainings on our virtual platform of how to get to $1 million and beyond, and you notice that they have one head, you know, they don't have three heads. They don't seem to have a cape on their back, and they don't have superpowers, but they tell us how they got there, and they provide this mentorship and this you know, emotional support, even in a lot of cases of, hey, you can do it too.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can come together as a community, and those of us who are already, you know, I hate to say this, but if you're at 100,000 and beyond, it depends on the kind of business you're in, but that's already a pretty damn big feat. If you're like us and you started your business from the ground up and you've grown to that level, you've got some pretty good battle scars. So right. We've already achieved a great level. And then to go beyond that and to continue to grow, there's just a, you know, mo money, mo problems, but we come together as a community to help each other to get through those next veil that we're coming up against. And,
you know, that's why I think I love doing Extraordinary Women Radio interviews so much, because, you know, of all the amazing women that I've gotten to interview, and so many have, you know, come so far in their careers and built such incredible businesses. And, you know, I can ask, you know, the women making the highest levels who have achieved the most things, you know, through, you know, made the most accomplishments in their career. And they still on a day-to-day basis come up against, you know, fear showing up. They have had struggles. They've had, you know, they've really had to fine tune that resiliency bone. And, you know, I think that that in itself is so inspiring to know that, you know, no matter where we're going, it's not a straight line from here to there, mm-mm. but there is an evolution of where we're going, a winding, twisting road and big mountains to climb and things, you know, boulders that will stop us in our way. And all of that can really, you know, if we can look at, you know, somebody who has done really well, it can be so inspirational.
Definitely. And, you know, people ask me, because it's not necessarily about the fact that I need to grow to a million and beyond. That's again, a benchmark that where we can create as female owned businesses, we can create more when we have more resources, we have mm-hmm. more revenue, we can employ more people, we can create faster, we can faster create the solutions that we have to the complex problems that exist in our markets. We can, you know, we just can create more, we can move faster toward our epic missions if we have more money. And I think that that's one of those things, is that women really hold themselves back from that point. And it doesn't matter if you don't want to hit a million, but this is the group of women. The Dames is for those women who really do. We are driven to grow. We are driven to scale. We are driven to succeed because it's exciting to us.
Right.
You know, we want to achieve that level. And it doesn't mean that everyone has to want to, you know, hit a million or get close or go way past and hit a billion. It means whatever it means to you, but that you are definitely of that DNA that gets lit up when yeah. you see that.
And I think what, you know, in my tribe, what I tend to see is this desire that to make a difference, right? It's that desire to make an impact. And
absolutely, that's part
of
it.
And that's where, you know, the more that we raise ourselves up and being able to achieve in our work, you know, from a financial, from an influential perspective, the more we can make the impacts that we want to make in the world.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it takes incredible facilitation. I've had to go through a lot of facilitation around money programming and money issues and making more money than my ancestors and making more money than others. And there's a lot that's come in the way, but I also think as women, a lot of times we tend to not be willing to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of the factor. Like, I don't want to help women who aren't impact driven. I don't want to help you if you're creating a product that's going to destroy humanity or, you know, that's not who I want to help, but
right.
that, you know, I do want to help those who are seriously impact and mission driven and are willing to do the work to crush through money barriers and get to that next level and create next level solutions and employ more people who are excited about the things that you're doing in the world. Because women, we have kick-ass businesses. We have yes. kick-ass ideas. We are mm-hmm. leaders that just haven't fully come into ourselves yet because we have these mindset things that hold us back. And I think we're really, I mean, we're in the middle of a huge transformation of this.
And I think that's why so many of us were pulled into the work that we do today.
Absolutely.
Back in 2008, right? I mean, it's that there was this universal door that did open for so many of us. And, you know, the time is really now for women to step up and be seen and be heard and find their purpose that they're meant to be, you know, working towards, striving towards. And not our purpose can change and it can evolve. And it, you know, it's a dynamic thing, but it is the more we're being called to step up into it and lead and follow those open doors that the universe so eloquently puts open for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's what is going to be making changes in our world.
Totally. And it's, yeah. If you just look around and see it, it's already happening. And I'm so excited that you and I are part of it and that we're, you know, to use your term, we're the change makers and we're making it happen. And,
right.
I want to just keep surrounding myself with more people like us.
Absolutely. So knowing that part of what makes us each very special are our contradictions, what is one of yours and how does it show up in your life, Megan?
That's a good question. And I'm wondering what a can you define what you think a contradiction is or what?
Sure. When I think of contradiction, for me, I'll just use one of my contradictions.
Yeah.
I tend to be very, I can be very linear where I can go out and be very strategic, left brain thinking, you know, drive kind of thing. But I also have this very deep soulful side of me that can just go deep and listen inside. And so that's one of my contradictions. So it's like, you know, where one okay. part of you is really, you know, one way, but there's a whole other side of you. It's like the flip side of the coin, the opposite okay. side of the coin.
So we can't be one without the other for the most part, but yeah, I see that as sometimes my struggle between what I call my human self and my spiritual self.
Mm.
And it's this constant practice for me of achieving. I almost look at it as like I'm standing in the middle of a teeter-totter and I can, it's that same concept of I can have it all. I can be human and I can be a spiritual being all at the same time. I don't mm-hmm. have to teeter-totter between the two and being one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really working on that. I hate the word balance, but it's the only word that's coming up. But I'm working on that integration of
yeah.
between my human self and my spiritual self and realizing that a lot of times when it's tough and when I get angry or I struggle with, you know, some of the things that I struggle with that are my human self, I have to remind myself that I'm still my spiritual being. And then I lean more into my spiritual practice. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times I resent my human self and I'm like, well, darn it. Why can't I just be this fully connected, like monk, Zen, you know, peaceful, calm, brilliant, whatever, you know, spiritual being all the time. But it's that is definitely a contradiction that I experience. And it's, for me, it's that integration as much as possible. That I'm daily practice working on.
Yeah. And you know what I love about that is, and because I can totally think of times this year where I, you know, beat myself up over, you know, why wasn't I more present in this moment for this particular thing? And it, we have to realize that, you know, we do this dance back and forth and the more we practice it, the more it does become more natural for us.
And we also have to realize, and this is something that I've become hyper aware of, by quitting drinking is that society doesn't think like that. Most of society doesn't, I don't think, embrace the fact that they are spiritual beings living a human existence and that they have the ability to 100% tap into their intuition and their higher self and that guidance that comes through. So it's not normal. It's not around us all the time. So it's even more on me to practice it and to create the space for me to be able to connect in and, you know, that's, I can only do that for myself.
Right.
And I can make up excuses all day long of, well, I have too much work to do, or I have to do this, or I have to do that. But ultimately that's my number one self-care is giving myself that space to do my spiritual practice of meditation and journaling and, you know, connecting to myself and my knowing. Yes. That's way more important than writing another Facebook post or,
absolutely,
you know, whatever the case may be, answering another 4,200 blasted emails.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that is again, something that I have heard over and over again from some of the best leaders that I've been able to interview here is making that practice first, taking care of you first, and then the other pieces can follow.
Yep.
And taking care of your mindset through that.
Yep. We are the only ones who are in control of just about everything that's going on in our minds and just right. about everything else that's going on in our atmosphere.
Right. So. Right. So where can our listeners learn more about you and the Dames, Megan?
Yes. So currently we are at denverdames.com, but we will be soon moving 100% over to thedames.co. So right now, denverdames.com, later thedames.co, and my Megan Conter website, which I'm sure you'll put in the notes so that everybody can spell Megan correctly with yes. all the consonants possible of the word, for my marketing and branding strategic business. So that's where you can find me. And of course, I am on every single social platform. I love to connect with people socially. So you can find Megan Conter anywhere, and that's M-E-G-H-A-N-N. Might as well throw it in there.
There you go.
I'll see you guys anywhere, and I love connecting with people. Just send me a little message. Tell me how you heard about me, and I'd love to connect.
Awesome. So what three pearls of wisdom can you leave with our audience today?
Yes, to have as much as possible, work on having as much clarity as you can in your life, which looks different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
To remove the barriers that you may not know very consciously, but subconsciously, and if you tap into that subconscious awareness, you will know, are getting in your way from living your best life.
Mm, nice.
Remove those things that can't go with you where you're headed. Mm-hmm. And to connect with a tribe that is, or multiple tribes really, that are like-minded and that are there to support you, because you choose the people that you surround yourself with. And so you might as well choose the right people.
Awesome. Well, this has been a real pleasure, Megan. I really appreciate your stories and sharing, and I'm so excited about the Dames. I'm looking forward to celebrating with you when it's the International Dames, and it's, you know, you've got them all around the world, and
yes.
It's, I can see the vision. I really can.
I can too.
I'm so excited for you. So,
so exciting.
Congratulations for everything you've accomplished this year and for sharing your stories today. And, I will be seeing you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Cami.
Have a great day.
You too.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you thinking about making the next bold move in your life? I invite you to take the Your Next Bold Move quiz at camigelner.com to find out how you can jumpstart a passionate and meaningful next chapter. You may also enjoy my book, Fire Dancer, Your Spiral Journey to a Life of Passion and Purpose, which is available on Amazon. In Fire Dancer, you will become intimately connected to your heart's calling and build the courage and resiliency to ignite your what's next. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media channels. I'm on both Facebook and Twitter, and the links are available on my website. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.